It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But the Krell forgot one thing, it's monsters, John. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
Exterminate!
It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown. T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey everyone, so this is our new specific section of our episode. We recorded for our special episode a little bit longer than we originally expected, and so we have split it in half. The first half is mostly our news and movie and lit discussion-y sort of section. Our B half, which will go up hopefully next Monday or maybe earlier, will be specifically on religion and science fiction and fantasy a little bit, and also on why we think fantasy is in literature doing better than science fiction. And there'll be some related discussion. So I hope you enjoy the episode. Here is our new specific section. Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanny Show, episode 4.0.
Proving that Jen and Adam can ride with Han Solo around the universe in a sexy Finn rocket without causing an extinction event.
I'm Sean.
Yes, I did it. And I'm Jen.
I'm Adam.
I'm Jason.
And I'm John.
We probably should have had an order.
You did have an order. It's on the agenda.
Oh, is it? Oh, it is on. This is right. Yeah. Okay, so I'm smart. I actually did that and then forgot about it. That's great.
Nobody reads those things. Let's be honest here.
Well, I read it because I wrote it. But anyway, all right. So this is our very special, awesome, like roundtable-y long special episode. We have with us John Ottinger, who of the Grasping for the Wind, and we have Jason Sanford, who is possibly one of the best short story writers writing at this moment. So thank you all for coming on the show.
Oh no, happy to be here.
Sweet. And of course we have Adam, which is the first time Adam has ever been on the show at the same time as Jen.
Yep, yes. Hence the tagline.
Yes.
And so far we haven't killed each other.
So far.
Cool. So all right, so the first big thing we want to talk about is all of the junk that's coming out this month in terms of movies. Since this is technically our news episode, we have, like 5 or 6 movies that are coming out this month that are supposed to be great, wonderful things. They all probably will suck, but, you know, maybe we'll get lucky. So let's dive right in. So on June 1st is Yellow Brick Road, which is about what?
I'm not actually sure what it's about, except that it's a group of people going out a road and going crazy. Something like that, anyway. It's a horror film, and it's being released by BloodyDisgusting.com. So it's either science fiction or it's not science fiction. I couldn't really tell, but it's horror, so you just kind of got to lean towards probably science fiction or fantasy.
All right, well, who That's actually wants about. To see this movie?
Well, it's Jason. I'm actually pretty excited about this movie. I mean, any movie that can merge a Elton John song with a slasher movie, hey, he's got my money.
I have honestly never been so creeped out by a trailer.
Really?
Or at least it's been a while. It's a creepy trailer. It totally did it for me, which is why I'm totally not going to go see it. I'd rather kill it.
So you're one. You'd rather kill yourself.
I'm a chicken. I can't go watch it.
What about you, John?
Horror just does not do it for me. I'm totally a one on that.
What about you, Adam?
Looks terrible.
So terrible in what way? It's probably torture cinema or you'd rather kill yourself?
Torture cinema. I mean, I think the idea could be done well, but I mean, that just looks like some slasher flick.
Well, it is. It just involves, like, people beating each other with sticks and in the woods, which is, I'm sure, entertaining for somebody. What about you, Jason?
I'll give it a 3, and maybe. You know, like I said, it's been a long time since I don't see a lot of horror movies, but, you know, if it's kind of like Blair Witch Project, hey, I may have to go see it, you know, where everybody starts talking about it. Otherwise, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm about the same with a 3 for an maybe, because it might be a good horror flick, and I like a good horror flick, but if it starts going to that whole, like, 10 pounds of blood everywhere, I'm out. So,
well, Bloody Disgusting actually has a pretty good taste in in films, so
what else have
who
they
knows?
Done?
I can't even tell you right now. They've only produced themselves two other films, but usually their reviews are pretty solid. So who knows?
All right. So what's up next?
It might
then?
Actually be good. Oh, well, the thing that everybody is actually looking forward to this month, well, everybody that's a comic book geek like myself, June 3rd is X-Men First Class.
Woo!
Yay!
And the basic premise seems to be this is the start of the sort of mutant-human war. Is that's what I get from the trailers.
Start of mutant-human war, start of the relationship between Magneto and Professor X, basically the start of pretty much everything in the Marvel universe that is X-related.
Okay. Well, the trailer looks pretty cool, but I don't know. The Wolverine was really awful.
Wolverine was really awful, and the third film was really awful, so hopefully this one isn't as awful. I mean, it looks good. The acting looks solid, which is something. But who knows?
I'm going to disagree with that because I'm going to give this torture cinema because the Wolverine preview looked kick-ass. Can I say ass on this?
Yeah, I'll believe
it.
Yes.
I mean, y'all remember that Wolverine preview? It looked like the best superhero movie in forever, and then we actually see it, and it sucked. And you know what? I think they're going to go even worse this time. I mean, I think it's going to be one of those you're like, wow, that preview totally cheated me.
Like all the good parts were in the preview and then you saw the movie and you're like, ugh.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's exactly what's going to happen. I'm not even going to bother with it. I'm tired of this messing with the X-Men movies and, you know, until they, you know, I mean, come on. They're just rebooting a series that really isn't that old. I'm sick of that, too.
Yeah, well, they're redoing Spider-Man, too, so...
Yeah, okay, so, but, you know, this is the guy who did Kick-Ass, and I loved Kick-Ass.
Oh, we're going to have to disagree, Jen.
Uh-oh.
Overrated.
What?
Way overrated.
Fairly terrible. Well, of course it was overrated, because most movies are overrated these days, but it was still a fun, well, Kick-Ass sort of movie. Plus, my kids loved it.
No, it was terrible.
Come on!
I don't know if using your kids as a barometer for goodness is necessarily a good thing, Jen. My brother liked Barney, so.
Why would anyone like Barney?
For what it's worth, one of my kids told me, "Dad, you were wrong. Ghost Rider was a great movie."
Oh well, yeah. My kids at least recognized that one sucked.
I mean, Kick-Ass was. I had a lot of fun. I thought it was a fun movie. I wouldn't have thought it was the best thing ever, but it was. I certainly enjoyed it. But
exactly.
Maybe that's because I like Nick Cage and the daughter, and like just seeing a little girl beating the hell out of people is kind of fun for me. So
that was the only redeeming feature of that movie was that.
Exactly. Okay.
Was her kicking butt.
All right.
Cage
so.
Everybody else was pointless. But anyway, no, X-Men First Class. I actually decided this movie would suck the minute I realized that they turned Moira McTaggart and Sean Cassidy into Americans. And right then and there, I was like, all right, this is going to be the lamest movie ever.
Yeah, you just went
and
way over my head.
Okay, Moira McTaggart is the scientist who dates Professor X, but she's like Welsh or something, I don't know. So, nice British accent going there. Sean Cassidy is Banshee. His entire mythology is based on being Irish. So, changing him into American is just kind of...
How is that a problem, considering that there are so many Irish Americans, you know, in the United States? In fact, you know, America was founded on the backs of the Irish in many ways. And at the time that X-Men First Class takes place, I mean, it makes sense that there would still be a large population of Irish Americans.
Well, right, except that you already have Magneto being at least, well, he's not Germanic, but at least giving him, you know, European characterization. Mm-hmm. I believe that they're sticking with that sort of characterization with some of the other characters, but they decided just with Moira and Sean that they would just make out. She's like a CIA agent. I'm not even sure if she's a scientist in the movie. So they're changing things that, I mean, this has been my problem with a lot of comic book films, is they change things that seem utterly pointless to change.
Well, isn't that the definition of Hollywood?
Yeah, I suppose it is. I mean on one hand, you could say that because they're utterly pointless to change, they don't actually affect the grand scheme of things, but it's one of those things that just kind of pisses me off as a lover of the comic books.
Well, okay. I mean, I don't know the X-Men, at least not the early stuff, as well as you do, Jen. I watched the old X-Men cartoon, which was awesome, but I mean, if you're going to, like, throw it out over that one detail, I mean, whew.
Well, I'll throw it out over a lot of other details.
Sure. Yeah, I was about to say, I think X-Men First Class is going to give you a lot of stuff to throw out at them.
Exactly. It's not going to just be those two things. But before I got those couple of tidbits, I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'll go see it. And it might be kind of cool. And then I started getting, you know, bits and pieces of information about things that had been changed. And I was like, well, okay, that makes no sense whatsoever. So I started writing it off. So, yes, I'm going with Jason. It's going to be torture cinema.
Okay. All right. So you're out. Jason's out. What about you, John?
I'm in the maybe category. I don't think it's going to come out all that well, but my wife makes me watch superhero movies, so I will be watching it no matter what, so I might as well at least pretend to enjoy it.
All right, well, I'm in the same three category. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to see it, but it's not... I don't know. I'm kind of halfway between it's going to be torture cinema and it'd be good, but that all really depends on a lot of factors. What about you, Adam?
It's going to be terrible.
So torture cinema terrible?
Yeah, I don't like superheroes, so...
Who wants to take a bet on which movies Adam is going to hate? Because I'm guessing he's going to say two to all of these.
Well, you know me in movies. I'm not really a movie fan in general, so...
I know. You haven't seen a movie since 1915.
Oof. That long ago, huh?
Yeah, it was still silent films, you know, with the little, yeah.
Oh, I love silent films. Those are much better.
All right,
I've never seen one.
Next movie on our list comes out June 10th, which is Super 8, which is, if I understand, is J.J. Abrams. Am I correct?
Yeah, he directed and Steven Spielberg produced, but evidently Spielberg and Adams worked together on the story.
Okay.
Well, I'm just going to get this out right now. I despise J.J. Abrams with every fiber of my being, so I will not see it.
Yes, we know you do.
I will probably boycott the film. In fact, we need like a -1 on our scale for boycotting, because I would rather kill myself while boycotting the film. So I won't say any more than that. So what about anybody else?
Well, I'm going to disagree with you.
Oh.
This is the only movie I'm looking forward to all summer. You know, and I'll probably be disappointed, but what the hell? I'm going to go there and see it. And, you know, this is one of those old summer movies. Finally, we have a summer movie worth going to see, you know, or at least one to get excited about.
Yeah, I'll have to agree. This is the only movie I'm excited to go see, too.
Yep, and I'm with all three of them. I know you hate, or all two of them, whatever. I know you hate J.J. Abrams, but this actually looks kind of like a classic sci-fi film.
Old-school
classic sci-fi.
I thought, that looks like a good film when he did Cloverfield. And then I saw Cloverfield.
No, that never looked like a good film.
No, it looked awesome. Did you see the viral marketing for that? That was awesome viral marketing.
I think it got more play for its viral marketing than for its quality.
Exactly.
Well, that's because nobody saw the film until it was already out. They were hyped.
Yeah, but then people saw it and they were like, this is not, you know, they advertised it really awesome. Learn a lot of guerrilla marketing from them, but don't see the movie.
Yeah.
Right, but how do you know that this is just doesn't look cool for Super 8? It's just like, oh, it's really good advertising. And then you go see it, and it's really about like a giant Barney in a train.
Actually, it very well could be a giant Barney in a train, but I don't think it is, one thing. But for another thing, because they've done things like chosen a fairly unknown cast, they've given it a very old school sort of the darker feel. Things look a little bit grittier than your usual action-packed, very slick summer blockbuster. So I've got hope for this one.
Does anyone have any idea what this is about? Because everything I've seen of it has been really vague. There's some explosion, something to do with aliens, but it's vague.
They're keeping it pretty well under wraps. Even you know, because I was checking out some. There are some reviews out, but even those reviews are not telling you exactly what happens. But I agree. I mean, I think this is, you know, it's nice. One, this is not a remake. a redoing of a superhero movie that, or, you know, or some third-rate superhero movie, which, you know, just to set up Green Lantern, but no comment there yet. I mean, you know, it looks like, I mean, who knows if it would be good, but at least there, it looks like it's an original science fiction movie. And, you know, yep. When's the last time you could say, hey, there was an original science fiction movie? I'm not counting all these, you know, skyline aliens coming down and sucking people up with a giant vacuum cleaner movies. I mean, you know, I mean, the last time, I mean, come on, who can name the last original science fiction movie you saw and enjoyed?
Inception.
Saw and enjoyed? Yeah, well, it would have to be Inception. Otherwise, I was going to go even before that with M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong's really horrible movie that seemed like a really original science fiction
movie. The Happening, which we saw together?
The Happening, and it was horrible. But yes, Inception, thank you for reminding me that there is quality science fiction out there.
Yeah, but it's hard to say whether Inception is original, because it does seem to take a lot of that sort of
and
stuff about dreams. So.
I enjoyed Inception, but I would not call it original.
Hmm, okay.
Once I found out that they stole everything from DuckTales, totally lost all interest.
Okay, I haven't heard this theory.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not a theory.
Jason, I gotta hear what that's all about.
There are pages from an issue of DuckTales that literally involve the bad guys like using a machine to like get into his dreams to steal the code for his bank so they can get into his bank. So
it's hilarious. It's so spot on. They actually go through a number of films that have been stolen from DuckTales, but Inception was the big one. And the proof is fairly damning.
Yeah.
I'll have to put the link for you guys because it's hilarious. It was some of the best investigative reporting I've seen in a long time.
Because that's obscure. Wonder, they really would have had to dig.
Exactly. So. I'm not sure who read that many DuckTales comic books as a child, but whatever.
I just saw the show. But okay, so let's get the scores out for Super 8. We all know mine. I have a -1. It's a new number in the scale. What about you, Jen?
I am going with... okay, so I probably won't be there opening night in costume, but I'd really like to see this, so 4.
Okay, Jason?
4, definitely.
Okay, but no costume for you.
No, never a costume.
All right. What about you, John?
I would go with a 4.
Okay, no costumes for you. We know Adam, it was probably a 4, right?
3.
A 3?
I don't really care if I miss it. It's a movie.
Okay. Come on!
Okay, so we can just expect that nothing ever would make you dress up in costume.
Hey, Harry Potter, last one. Gotta go in costume to that.
You're seriously going to go
Are
in costume?
Are you serious?
I look surprisingly a lot like Bill Weasley from the movies, so of course I have to. Plus, my wife makes me, so don't really have a choice in the matter.
Your wife makes you dress in costume. That's cute. Okay, yes. So the next one coming out, also on the 10th, is a little semi-unknown film that Jen and I have actually talked about before, which is Troll Hunter, which sadly is only being released in New York, which we might have like one person who listens to this show from New York. So... the basic premise, a bunch of guys who go hunting for trolls to prove that they exist. That's the basic premise. It's sort of a comedy film, and it looks a little bit on the ridiculous side, but in a way that's not like those like epic movie, ridiculous movies, not quite that ridiculous. And the trailer, which we gave everybody else, doesn't have the beautiful line about Christians, which I thought was hilarious, because they apparently is... Jen, you explain this. It's part of the myth, isn't it?
Part of the myth is that trolls can smell Christians. So when I think it's a Muslim woman tries to join the band, they're like, well, I think that's okay.
But there's a whole bit where one of the characters actually hides the fact that he's Christian. And while they're being attacked, he like confesses, like screams out, I'm a Christian, but in like Norwegian or whatever the language is. So I thought, since I know at least 2 people that are with us today are Christian, they might find that maybe amusing, or maybe they won't. I don't know. No? Am I the only one laughing?
I could see that being funny, you know, but it's where they go with it and what the point of that is. Like, is there, you know, are they just being satirical, or are they trying to make a point? You know, that kind of,
I think
assume satirical.
it seems like the whole thing is kind of making fun of the myth, but at the same time, it's trying to do to use all of the myths, because like everything from they turn to stone when they get hit by light, all of that's sort of in this, and I guess that's just part of the myth of trolls. So it seems like they're doing that as kind of a joke, but also sticking with the myth. But that's the way I'm perceiving it, and I'm crazy liberal atheist.
A couple of the jokes will probably be slightly pointed jokes, but more about the absolute absurdity of the myth than the possible absurdity of being religious in any way, shape, or form. So, who knows? But, the reason, when I found this one, I was tentatively excited because it looks slightly hilarious, for one thing. Two, it's an independent film with some fairly good graphics. I don't know if you guys watched the preview for it, but which shows pretty much, I think, every troll that they have in the film, probably. But they're not bad, particularly for an independent film. So, and I've just started really enjoying. There's another movie that came out of Norway or something. The Scandinavian countries are doing all these just slightly absurd films.
Yeah, the Santa Claus one.
Hilarious. The Santa Claus one, and there was this. I think it was a Scandinavian country. Someone, whatever, that did the zombie Nazis.
It was. It came out of a Scandinavian country. I know that. I remember that.
Exactly. So you have these slightly hilarious films coming out of Scandinavian countries that I'm just like, I don't know where you guys are coming from with this, but that's kind of awesome. So I'm looking forward to it.
All right. So
we never see it, but
Jen, what would you give it then?
I'm a 4, actually. I'm not going to go to the theaters because I don't live in New York, but I can't wait till somebody puts it up online for me to steal.
Okay, I'm glad you're admitting that you're a thief, but that's great. I'm also a 4. I kind of want to see it. So I would like to see it. What about you, Jason?
Well, I hate to say this, but I missed most of the last conversation because I surfed online to look up the Inception and DuckTales thing, and I just read the entire article. My mind is currently trying to process this amazing theft. I can't believe he Nolan.
Right?
It's amazing.
It totally is. It was such a revelation.
It's more blatant than James Cameron and The Terminator with Harlan Ellison.
Totally agree. I mean, at least here, and the fact that it was the whole story of Inception was folded into a 24-page DuckTales comic book, it's great. This is a classic. So I have no comment about the troll movie. I'm afraid I missed a lot of the conversation just now.
Do you want to see it?
Probably not. No.
Okay. No. All right.
I'll go two on that.
All right. What about you, John?
It's just not in my milieu, let's say, of movies that I choose to see.
Okay, so the Christian jokes don't do anything.
That's nothing to do with it. It's just it doesn't seem like a movie I'd even care to see, no matter what.
I'm teasing. No, I just thought that was totally ridiculous. But
it is pretty ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. So hopefully they make good fun of the myth. But what about you, Adam?
2, of course.
Of course. Nothing.
Yeah, if Scandinavian indie movies, just that seems terrible in so many ways, shapes, and forms.
Says the Viking.
What about Never Let Me Go?
I never saw that.
What?
Just assume I've never seen anything except for Inception. Okay. It's my one and everything Pixar's ever done. So.
Okay.
That's about it.
All right. Well, then we will move on from Troll Hunter.
The things I'm learning about Adam right now.
He doesn't like movies.
I think it's a lesser form of media.
Wow.
Of course you do.
And your dog apparently agrees.
Yes, both of them.
All right.
All right, so the one
on to the next film.
We need to hear from Jason on this one, because June 17th is Green Lantern, and apparently he has big issues.
Well, I'm going to give it a chance, I'll have to admit. But yeah, I've never been a fan of Green Lantern. He's the super wuss of superheroes. Mr. I have to have my ring, but don't throw anything yellow at me. You know, it's where does the color yellow figure into any kind of actual magical or scientific based ring? I mean, come on. But I will say one thing though, if I'm willing to give it a chance, because if Green Lantern ends up being an actual science fiction movie, which I'm starting to hear some rumblings that it could be, and instead of just a standard superhero movie, it's more of a science fiction movie, I might actually go see it.
Okay, so you're kind of in that three territory then.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely maybe.
Okay, cool, cool. All right, what about you, John?
Definitely in the maybe area, because, I mean, the wife will want to see it. But I never... Green Lantern, I never paid attention to growing up, and to me, it'll just be yet another superhero movie to go see and maybe enjoy and escape from the world for a couple hours.
All right, cool. So, but your wife will probably force you to see it.
Yeah, more than likely.
What about you, Adam?
Two.
You don't even have any comment? You're just two, just whatever.
Well, I mean, it looks hideous in so many ways, shapes, and forms, and... The little I know about superheroes, Green Lantern does seem like just an idiot. So I really don't care. And, I mean, you can put down a two for Transformers now, because I don't care about that one either.
Okay. So we won't ask your opinion on that. I agree with you that it looks pretty. The CG, they made his whole suit a CG suit over his body, which to me just looked totally ridiculous. But
supposedly there's been some fixing on the CG since the initial release of the trailer. And like the first time I saw the trailer, I nearly killed myself because of the CG. Well, not just because of the CG. I also am not exactly happy with Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern. But I think we all know that I would have preferred a certain captain as Green Lantern.
Yes.
So, yes.
Nathan Fillion, in case people don't know who we're talking about.
Nathan Fillion. So since then I've just... And like I said, Green Lantern is not... I mean, some people are all about Green Lantern and supposedly think he's like the greatest superhero of all time. And one of the richest backstories. But I've never been a big fan. So I'm putting this at... I'm putting it at 3 because I'll more than likely see it. I see most superhero movies that come out. But
no standards.
Basically. But I do not expect much quality out of this one.
No. Yeah, well, I'm with Adam. It's definitely a 2. It's probably going to be a torture cinema. As soon as they cast Ryan Reynolds, I knew it was over. And then you see the CG and it's just whatever. So, again, all right. Crap. I could hate on this movie for a while, but I won't. So why don't we just talk very briefly then about Transformers 3, which if they don't improve on Transformers 2, it's going to be really awful, because Transformers 2 was terrible. So there's apparently they go to the moon, and there's like, he's been on the moon for a while, some evil Transformer dude. That's the basic plot, which sounds hilariously dumb. But okay, so does anyone have any particular comments, or can we all just say 2 and just move on?
Two, y'all are gonna grade this as torture cinema. I mean, this is I will kill myself before I see this movie. I mean, I will hunt down the entire cast of this movie and try to wipe it from the collective memory of humanity. I mean, this is going to be the worst abomination since Hollywood was founded.
Wow, man, really emotional words, Jason.
I mean, come on, this is, and what makes it worse is this movie's going to make $1 billion.
Probably, yeah. If not domestically, then at least internationally, everybody's going to see that, yeah. Oh, goodness.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm not a big fan of the big-lipsed new chick, so that partially ruined it for me.
There's a
new chick.
Shia
LaBeouf, even though there's a new chick. Even though I had mad love for Shia when he did the first movie, I've slowly been losing faith and hope in him since then.
But he was Mutt in King Indiana Jones.
The only thing that will be cool about this movie is the only things that have been cool about the first other two movies, which is Transformers.
But there'll be more of them this time, just like there was in
them. I know, and that will make it slightly awesome as long as you cut out the rest of the film. If you just, like, you know, cut out all the parts that have acting or a script or any hints of a plot line, which there probably won't be anyway. But if you take all of that out and just leave big, massive fights with cool robots that transform into trucks and cars, I'm all over it. Otherwise,
The only good thing about this movie is I understand they dropped the racist Jar Jar Binks of Transformers. Yeah. You know, so evidently they're not going to have the racism that they had in the last one. But still, I mean, come on. I mean,
I know.
What makes it worse is my kids want to see it. I just want to scream.
Of course they do. Transformers. Yeah. So I'm at a 2.
All right. Adam's at a 2. Jason is like at a negative 10,000. He would like to destroy the world for its very existence, apparently.
Pretty much.
I think Jason is bitter because he's going to have to go see it.
So yeah, I think that's playing a big role.
Yeah.
What about you, John?
Totally at a 2. Maybe leaning towards 1.
Oh, okay. So you're like on the cusp. I can't believe I feel weird giving it a 2. You all make really good arguments, and it probably will be one of the worst things to ever hit the cinema.
It's going to be pretty freaking awful.
Yeah, but Megan Fox is gone, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, but she's been replaced by someone that looks like she has the potential to be even worse than Megan Fox, which I didn't think
was
possible. Is she what?
Is she greasy? Is she greasy? Because
no.
Megan Fox looks like she takes a bath in, like, oil. She, like, rubs a tub of Crisco on herself, and then she runs around in the sun.
That's really revolting, and I think that says more about you than it does Megan Fox.
Yeah, this is getting strange.
I'm not touching this one.
Okay, well, excuse me for my Megan Fox hate. Shall we move on?
Yeah.
Before I put my foot... I've been putting my foot in my mouth a lot today, so we should just move on.
Yes, I think maybe we should. Basically, there are no good movies coming out this month, except potentially for Super 8. Next month, however, Cowboys versus Aliens.
Oh, woo-hoo! My God.
Yeah.
Yes, I will forsake my God for that movie. Whatever. It looks like the worst... I mean, that looks worse than Transformers, I think.
What?
Ow. Okay, save it, Jen. We'll bring him back, and you can argue with each other.
He's not even worth arguing against. He just dismisses everything offhand. And he's not here for me to slap, so...
Anyway, so all right, let's talk about legitimate news now and get away from all this movie nonsense, since we've been talking about that long enough. So the biggest news is probably that Bradley Cooper wants to adapt Dan Simmons' Hyperion for the screen. Both books. It's not clear whether he wants to do each as a separate or how he wants to do it, but apparently he's already made a treatment, which is pretty astonishing, and I'm assuming he's going to want to be in it. I don't know how that's going to work, but so be it. So this seems like there had been talk a couple years ago that this was going to happen, not with Bradley Cooper, but with someone else. So it's very interesting that this is now getting some traction with an actor who is actually, well, at least at the moment, fairly popular, even though A-Team was one of the worst films of the last few years. But so, I mean, what does everybody think about this? I mean, how do you feel about Bradley Cooper being involved? How do you feel about even just the project finally getting a screenshot at this?
We can
have an opinion. I've never read the books. How would I care? I mean, it's hard to care when you've never even read the books.
I haven't read them either.
They're great
books.
Anybody
here read them?
Yes, they're great books. I mean, I'm excited that Hollywood would want to make a movie on him, but I got to be honest, I don't think it's going to go anywhere. I think it's going to be 5 years from now, there's still not going to be a movie on this on the book, and I think this is just going to fritter away.
So all this talk from Bradley Cooper, you think is just sort of idle nonsense? It'll maybe get in front of an exec and they'll just go whatever, and it'll just flounder like everything else.
Well, I think the book is so complex, it's going to take like a Lord of the Rings effort to bring it to the cinema, and I don't see Bradley Cooper as being that type of person who can do something like that, or anyone he associates with, or anyone he would even know in this lifetime, or possibly even anyone who might even watch one of his films. So that's why I'm saying I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
Wow, okay, bad okay. Hate for Bradley Cooper.
I'm sorry, my kids made me watch A-Team.
That movie is awful. Yeah, that movie is real dumb.
I still haven't seen it, but I'm of the same opinion. I mean, particularly since Bradley Cooper, although this actually gives me pause, supposedly he's the one that wrote it with a friend of his.
Oh,
which,
God,
well,
help
it's
us.
One, right, exactly, very worrisome. Two, slightly surprising. But, I mean, this is, I don't know, Bradley Cooper is not exactly, he's the Hangover guy. So I'm not sure how that's going to translate to the Hyperion guy, especially since he's writing and plans on directing.
like I said, this is going nowhere.
It's not going anywhere. Exactly.
I mean,
I don't see it doing anything ever.
I mean, if you want to call it writing, but I'm sorry, when you are inside a tank that has no working parachute and you smash into a lake, you don't survive. I mean, come on, man. Sorry, 18.
Yeah. No, that was pretty ridiculous. That was almost as bad as Batman and Robin surfing down the sides of buildings.
Exactly.
Right. Oof. So the conclusion we've come to is that Bradley Cooper must suck as a human being because he was willing to act in a movie like the A-Team.
Yeah.
The general consensus here. And therefore, only if he makes Hyperion, it'll suck as well, but probably it'll never happen anyway.
Yeah.
Let's hope somebody else.
I mean, for all of my teasing on Bradley Cooper, it's going to take a major effort to bring that novel to the screen, and I don't see it happening with this current effort.
I think I agree with Jason that you would need somebody to put as much dedication into it as like Peter Jackson did with Lord of the Rings, just because it's two books and they're very detailed, and it's Dan Simmons, which means he writes for 10,000 pages. So I think it'd be very difficult. And I noticed in the article that I gave everybody that apparently Arthur C. Clarke's Rendezvous with Rama is up, which I've heard. I thought it had floundered, but apparently it's in development with Morgan Freeman attached, which is Morgan Freeman. I'm not sure he'll play, but okay. And then Ridley Scott, I know this had happened too, was that The Forever War was going to get a treatment from Ridley Scott. And I gotta be honest, I'd be more excited to see The Forever War than Hyperion. Well, but
that would be terrible if Ridley Scott did The Forever War. Absolutely terrible.
Okay, I agree with you just because he has not done anything good in a while.
I mean, it's really tough to translate a complex social satire like The Forever War to any sort of visual media. But on Hyperion, I think it actually worked better as kind of like one of those HBO series that everyone seems to be up on right now, because it is more episodic in nature than your traditional story.
No, that would be... Yeah, no, I could see that. If HBO were to get interested in the project, I mean, they could do something... I mean, granted, they'd put, like, 12 boobs in every episode, but
just because they have naked people doesn't mean that they can't make quality programming.
I'm sorry, I'm hating on Game of Thrones right now because they have this obsession with, they have like a boob quota. There have to be a number of boobs on every episode, and if they're not in it, they have to like add a scene where they just do that. So I'm getting really sick of that.
Well, it's HBO.
Yeah, I know it's HBO, but they could at least have like the nudity, like there's a point to it. You know, that makes sense.
No. I'm sorry. This is HBO we're talking about. Unless they're doing their show about sex, specifically in the science of sex, which they used to have. I don't think it's still on anymore. Then there are no points to the boobs except as boobs, because people pay for boobs.
So are you saying that basically HBO is like a giant, like, pay-per-view?
Yes.
Kind of, like... Okay.
Stars and HBO, that's what they do. They have incredibly quality programming behind the boobs, but really it's just a vehicle for the boobs.
That's a contradictory statement.
Yeah. I like how we just had a 3-minute conversation about that topic.
Well, at least you have to give HBO props. I mean, at least they want their boobs to be intelligent and, you know, so.
Exactly.
No props. I will not give props.
I don't know if the boobs are intelligent in Game of Thrones.
Oh, are they only showing stupid people boobs? I mean,
well, one of them doesn't talk, so.
Oh, well,
no, but Roz, the prostitute who they've shown like 3 times now, and they've shown basically everything of
her. She's a prostitute. I mean, you're complaining about them showing a prostitute's boobs?
No. I'm complaining because they'll have her on the screen. She's not doing anything like she's not being a prostitute. She's just naked. She's just there, and there's no point to the scene. They'll just have her for 10 minutes with no clothing on.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm sorry.
Anyway, moving on. Okay, so generally speaking, I think we all agree that this is going to flounder unless it gets something other than a movie treatment.
No, it'll still flounder.
Exactly. And most science fiction doesn't make it anywhere in Hollywood, period. So...
I mean, that's true. That's a kind of sad truth of it. I mean, what do you... John, you've been kind of quiet on this. Do you have anything to add?
No, not really. I mean, there's so many things that you hear about, oh, it's going to get this movie treatment, oh, this person's attached to it, blah, 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 and it just goes nowhere. So why get excited until you actually know it's going to hit the theater?
And
That's a good point.
And when it does finally hit the theater, 9 times out of 10, it sucks.
Yeah, so, there is that, too. Jen, you are totally spot on with that.
You might as well just kind of not get excited until after you've seen the movie and it's actually good, which is why Inception was so surprising. Yeah.
Until we found out it was a DuckTales comic.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, man, your mind is totally blown over that, Jason. You're gonna be whew.
Well, they, it looks like they have the entire comic online, so I'm gonna read it after I've already read the article with the excerpts, but I'm gonna read the whole thing. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
I don't blame you, Jason. My mind was completely blown as well. I was never as up on Inception as Duke was / Sean, but once I saw that, I was like, oh, I just lost all respect for Inception. I can't even, it doesn't deserve any awards anymore. I mean, you guys were just talking about which awards did it
the Nebula.
The Nebula. Totally yeah. Doesn't deserve it anymore. It needs to be taken okay. away and given to DuckTales.
DuckTales didn't come out last year.
Well, then just...
We'll give DuckTales a legacy Hugo when that comes up again.
Okay. All right, we could do that. All right, so going to the last three stories, all of these I basically selected for Adam because I only wanted one movie literature-related one, and I wanted to give Adam lots of really crazy scientific stuff, which the first one being that Hitler apparently tried to train a bunch of talking dogs, to have an army of talking dogs, which is just, I mean, I guess I kind of expected it because he's Hitler and he was insane, but... I don't know. It's weird. Like, on the one hand, I want to be like, oh, that's really cool. But then I feel really bad because he was such a bastard. But at the same time, he made an army of talking dogs, or tried to, and he educated them and sent them to, like, a magic school where they were, like, learned to read and write and other crazy stuff.
I really
stuff.
Don't believe this article at all. Because they have, a dog who discussed religion, learned foreign languages, and wrote poetry. That,
yeah.
I mean...
To Nazi propaganda,
that
maybe?
That was the part that was unbelievable to you?
Hey, have you ever seen America's Funniest Home Videos? Dogs can talk. I've seen it.
Okay,
I'm just
sure.
Kidding. My dog
well, and apparently John's dog can talk, so who knows?
Right, she can talk.
Well, it sounds like there was an entire...
You just go on believing that. You'll feel good about yourself later, I'm sure.
I will. I totally will.
Well, there was an entire effort during World War II in Europe to train dogs like that. Because have you heard about the Russians? They tried to train dogs to... they would be carrying explosives, and they were supposed to run and detonate themselves under tanks.
But that
I didn't hear
sense.
About that, but that sounds that's believable.
Yeah, it did go so well. To save money, they trained them on tanks that weren't moving and shooting at them. And they also trained them to do that running towards Soviet tanks. So unfortunately, when the dogs started getting shot at, they tended to run back to the Soviet lines and then blow up. And
oh, no.
There were also reports of the dogs running towards Soviet tanks. So, you know, it doesn't sound like Hitler's training went much better than that.
Well, yeah, because we don't have any of these magic talking dogs that he apparently had that apparently discussed religion, which is so bizarre.
And poetry.
And poetry and learned foreign languages. And yeah, so, I mean, I guess the more that I look at it, the more it does sound suspect.
Yeah.
But I don't know. When I first saw it, I was like, that's so cool. But I didn't realize that they're actually saying that he... thought he legitimately had done things. I thought it was more an experiment gone wrong, but the more I'm looking at it, I'm like, no, they really thought that this happened. Which is kind of like the Area 51 lady recently who was talking about how the Soviets made children shaped like aliens to scare us because they thought the World of Worlds, the radio program, it scared us so much they thought they wanted to do that.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
That actually made sense. Not the part about
but it didn't happen.
Children with alien heads or whatever, but that whole theory actually made some sense because, I mean, it was like the Japanese were trying to send, you know, balloons over to the United States, so why not the Japanese with, you know, scaring the crap
yeah,
out
but,
of
But what that lady's saying about Area 51, I mean, it's all a bunch of baloney. It's garbage.
Why do you say that? How do you know?
Because when she talks about her source, who she says is her confidential source, and she's keeping him confidential, she'll say almost everything about the source except his name, which to me says that she's either a really, really bad journalist or she doesn't have a source. Because you don't sit there and say, oh, well, he was the fifth engineer who worked in this group and he went to this school and he did – you've basically given all the clues. Anybody can figure out who this guy is. So why would you do that? If this guy wants to be confidential, that means he's afraid to either of his life or he's afraid of the publicity. Well, it's just dumb. She's an idiot.
I think you're crazy. An idiot. No, it made like all I'm saying is it makes sense that they had some sort of training program to try to teach dogs these things.
Okay.
I just doubt the veracity of the, you know, success of these things. I mean, it'd be like training dogs to blow up tanks, which actually would have been brilliant if it had worked.
If it worked.
And if they had actually used decent training techniques and weren't cheapskates. But
I mean, it wouldn't have been that hard to get a hold of a German tank. I mean, they blew up a fair deal of them in the early invasion. So
yeah, but
that's what you would think, but.
Well, I mean, to be fair, the Soviets were kind of idiots. They would send their people running like old man style after the German lines, and then you'd have hundreds of people get mowed down by machine gun fire.
They had lots
idiots.
Of people, and you know.
I know, but they could have saved some people. But anywho, all right. So the next weird news thing is apparently they've used Google to do these infrared images of like Egypt and have found what they think are the ruins of pyramids in Tanis, which is awesome because Indiana Jones may have been right and we'll find the secret chamber and the Lost Ark and all of that cool stuff. And then we can watch like evil Nazi guys melt and it'll be great.
So they're going to make a documentary based on what they found and it is going to be a recreation of Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yes.
That would be
One to one, it'd be a perfect recreation.
Perfect.
Yeah. And Harrison Ford will be in it.
No, I don't see that happening. Really, it is cool that they are able to use satellites to find ancient ruins, and I'm hoping that they can, you know, I would be willing to bet that they'll be able to uncover other places where, you know, similar finds.
But when are they gonna be able to do this to find my keys that are buried in the backyard by the dog?
Exactly.
I mean, that's
Until
the important
they can do
thing,
that,
isn't it?
I totally agreed.
I mean, it's getting there. I was wrong. It's not Google. It was NASA satellites.
Right.
Which
evidently, they found it like 1,000 archaeological sites across Egypt doing this, and they said the satellite was only scanning right under the surface, so if there's something buried even deeper, they can't pick that up. So it's amazing. Yeah. I just hope they are keeping that map somewhat secret, because I'd hate for all the pot hunters and looters of the world to get there before the archaeologists do.
My understanding is that the team was already on the way at the time that this went up, which was, where's the darn date? I don't see a date
the
on
28th.
Here. Is it the 28th? Okay.
When
I didn't see
the
date. So the
link to was up, but it was probably earlier. How many sites did they find? Did you say, Jason?
17 structures, and well, at least at this one site, they found 17 structures.
Right. But across Egypt, they found over 1,000.
That's amazing.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to be able to do the same thing in places like the Amazon, which are much denser in terms of foliage, obviously. But, you know, who knows?
I mean, theoretically, it would still work, I think.
I don't know.
Adam's our resident scientist. Doesn't he know anything?
I have an English degree.
Okay. All right, well, anyway, so they discovered pyramids in Tanis, which, you know,
just because
is
I,
awesome.
You know, forward science links every 4 minutes on my Twitter doesn't mean I'm a scientist.
Well, for what it's worth, I do have a degree in archaeology, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they have done use some of these scanners in Central and South America to, I forgot where it was, but they located, you know, in one site and down there, they found ancient roads and stuff like that. And about a year or two back, the or maybe more than that, the shuttle did some scanning of some of the ancient deserts, and they were able to find the old caravan routes. You know, so they are. There's a lot of this scanning going on now, and it's amazing what the they are. It's revealing about the archaeological heritage of our world. There, I'm done. It's sounding like a know-it-all.
No,
but you're right. I mean, the digital, all of these new digital technologies. Are, I mean, they're not just changing archaeology. They're even changing. Like my field, which I'm an English major, and apparently Adam has got an English degree too, which is great. But that's also changing that with all of these new digital technologies, which can search ancient documents and everything. Like there are people who are spending all of their time tracing the use of words, very specific words, and seeing when they were first used and in what context, and are now able to trace the development of the English language in ways that we never were able to. So it's pretty amazing.
Tolkien did that.
Yeah, but he did it the old-fashioned way. Now we can do it with a computer. By hand, yeah. It took him like his whole life.
They're doing like statistical regressions and that jazz.
If I knew what that meant, I would say yes.
I'm just using jargon. I don't know.
I would assume by that he means going back and finding the words that have the highest probability of showing up. I don't know.
There we go.
I'm just trying to decipher what he says, basically. So
see, I don't even know how smart I am most of the time.
You are amazing, Adam.
There you go.
All right, last bit of news then is I gave this one. I as soon as I saw it, I thought Adam would love this.
Oh yeah, I do love this. This is too cool.
Scientists have given computers schizophrenia, supposedly to better understand the human brain. I think just because they haven't seen enough robots take over the world videos, because this sounds like the dumbest idea to do to a computer, but at the same time, really cool.
When I saw this, for one thing, I was trying to figure out how they could actually do something like this. And I wondered, for one thing, I didn't know what schizophrenia was until I even read this article. So the fact that they're... Well, no, I mean, I knew what schizophrenia was, but the fact that they think it's based on not being able to forget things, basically.
That's one theory that they mentioned, they say.
So that's one theory. I mean, that's essentially what they've done to the computers, is give it so much information that it can't basically discern between things and, you know, so groups things into different personalities of sorts. That's what it seemed like to me. So, I don't know. How much applicability will there be with a study like this? That's what I want to know.
Adam will tell you that, because he probably has already written a story about this now.
Oh, I'm sure.
Not close. Discern, it's not a computer. It's a software program that I assume runs on a supercomputer, because it seems like you need one to model a natural language. But this is cool, because it's like a language-based theory of schizophrenia. I mean, if schizophrenia is like a hyper-learning system, then that means an isolated individual could not just develop schizophrenia. It's pretty cool.
Right. I mean, and I've always heard that there's higher rates of schizophrenia amongst the, you know, geniuses of the world. So it almost makes sense, and even in that context.
Yes.
Just saying. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, what are they going to do with it? Beyond that, what does this teach them about the human brain, or does it teach them more about what they can do with a software program than it does?
Well, it teaches us about the human brain. It's amazing that what this teaches. It teaches us that we have the ability to inflict our craziness onto everything that we create. I mean, that's amazing. That's exciting.
And terrifying.
It is terrifying, because you have like trawlers that just go around the internet looking for links and stuff. If they, you know, well, if they get links too quickly, will they develop schizophrenia?
Yes. I don't know why you all aren't just terrified, because I'm just seeing...
Like, I'm seeing schizophrenic Terminators, personally. So...
I'm seeing computers having to go to a psychiatrist and lay on the couch all day and... and just never having the ability to take over the world.
Right.
Because they'll be too messed
true.
Up.
That is a bright point in the schizophrenic robot theory of the world.
Well, I guess the big question then is, will the Terminators of the future think that they are being hunted by Terminators in the same way that that people thought she was crazy and had schizophrenia because she thought she was being hunted?
I don't know, but that totally made me giggle.
I haven't seen Terminator, so I don't understand the reference.
Come on, Adam! You're killing me here.
This is why you're Fanti. You're not allowed to be Skiffy. You cannot tell me you've not seen
you
at least one of the Terminators.
You just called me a resident scientist, and I'm not, and you call me Skiffy? I don't think so. And you, openly professed your, weird erotic love for Game of Thrones the other day, so...
What?
Back off, man.
Anyway,
that's how you stop a conversation.
Yeah, that's a great way to put a big hole in it.
That's almost as awkward as Megan Fox and Crisco.
Not quite, but close.
Oh, that's going to haunt me. That's going to haunt me forever.
Oh, in fact, I need to tweet that real quick.
No,
right?
Oh, yeah, I'll retweet it after you.
Yay!
Oh, Patrick Hester's going to have a lovely day with that. Ugh.
Brilliant. All right, is that all our news? There's got to be more news there right now.
No, because we're going to talk for, another hour, so we don't need any more news.
Oh, that's true.
And that's the end of the episode. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week. Our new intro music is Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
Just another weak human afraid to face death.
I fart in your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you. Always.
End of line.